All right. Thank you so much. You can be seated now. Would you please welcome Dan McCullum as he comes to bring the word?
Wow. It's been a powerful worship service this morning. I think the Lord has been speaking to us in the worship service about how powerful a tool worship is. So pay attention to that. You know, a lot of times when all the songs have the same theme, the Lord's trying to say something to you. Did you know that one of the roles of worship actually is to renew our mindset? The scripture says in Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, admonishing and teaching one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs." And so our songs are not just for him, they're also for us and the renewing of our mind. And I think a lot of that was happening today. I just felt a repositioning happening during worship today and a renewing of our mindset. How many of you felt that or were aware of that? That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, this week I had a great privilege. I was sharing on prophetic processing at Bethel Church with about 400 of their staff Wednesday. And I was just reminded of some of our prophetic values here in the house. Now, if you're new to this whole thing, let me explain what the prophetic is real quickly. It's just the ability to know the heart, the mind, and the voice of God. See, all throughout the Bible, God shows himself as one who has a desire to communicate with his creation, especially with his sons and daughters. But what has happened is that our sin and our selfishness and our mindsets have actually separated us from that ability to recognize and respond to the voice of God. The first test in the garden was, did God really say? And so the very first challenge in all of Scripture was to your ability to hear the voice of God accurately and respond appropriately. And so this is still the challenge today. Our challenge is still to recognize that God wants to communicate with every individual in this room. And he wants to help you recognize and respond to the voice of God. So when we throw out these words, biblical words like prophecy or prophetic, which is in the Bible over 1,000 times, what we're really talking about is the ability to recognize the voice of God, the thoughts of God, the heart of God. And one of the beautiful things about salvation is inviting Christ into your life to be the Lord, to be the Savior, to be the director, the ruler, the orchestrator of your life, to be your life partner. And the Lord wants to do that for every one of us in this room too. He said that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can call on his name today and begin a journey of salvation with him today. It is the abundant life that Christ died for. It is the greatest adventure on the face of the earth is knowing Christ. It really is. And so I want to encourage you today that these are the things that we're contending for. These are the things we're talking about. In our house, we have three things that kind of define our prophetic community. And I've said these before, but I want to hit one in a little different way today. The three things that define our prophetic community is, first of all, that a prophetic community is a place where everybody can prophesy, not just some. It's not just for special people. It's not an elite circle, but everyone has the privilege of hearing the voice of God. And we get this from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And it says, "In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy." We like to say it this way, that every son and daughter can prophesy. Every son and daughter can hear his voice and can respond to that voice. And that is, in essence, prophecy. So everybody gets to play. All right? Everybody gets to be a part. All right, the second value that we really reinforce here is prophetic diversity. And the scripture talks about how we have different kinds of gifts and different ways that those gifts operate and different ways that those gifts are administrated. And we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, as it talks about the different types of gifts and the different administrations of that. And wow, this has really been a growing area of learning for me as well. I've just been learning the different ways that God speaks to us and how many ways God speaks to us. I actually love this. You know, the challenge is never getting God to speak to you. The challenge is always in recognizing all the ways that God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you 1,000 different ways a day. And we travel the world and we teach on recognizing the voice of God. And we teach it through seeing. We teach it through hearing. We teach it through our senses. And we teach it through perceiving in our heart. And the fascinating thing about this is you actually have different receptors in your brain. God's speaking to every part of your brain as well. So how many know that God can even speak through fragrance, that you can discern spirits and you can discern what's going on through fragrance and through taste and through touch and through sight and through sounds? And the fascinating thing to me is I've just learned that all of those are different parts of your brain. That the fragrance part of your brain is what is most attached to your memory out of any of your senses, and that it is the frontal lobe of your brain. And then taste and touch are the parietal part of your brain, which is kind of in the center, and your sight is your occipital lobe in the back, and your hearing is your temporal lobe on the sides. And it's like, in the different ways that God speaks, he's actually saturating different parts of your brain with his voice, with his thoughts, and with his heart. Isn't that beautiful? And as we recognize the different ways that God speaks to us, we're actually loving the Lord with our whole mind. We're loving the Lord with our whole heart. See, God is speaking to every part of you. God is speaking to the wholeness of who you are. God is a communicating Father. And so, again, the challenge is never getting God to speak to you, but recognizing all the ways that he's already speaking to you. And so, as a house, we have made a commitment to embrace the diversity of the ways that God speaks. And we've also embraced the diversity of the assignments we have. Because not only does it say there's different kinds of gifts and there's different operations of those gifts, but the scripture says that there's different administrations of those gifts. In other words, God's voice gives you an assignment. There were some words used a moment ago that a lot of people don't understand. And honestly, we're in the infancy of understanding them ourselves. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says that the church is built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. And to really simplify that, let me say it this way. That the prophet is receiving the information. And the apostolic is distributing the mission. It's going on the assignment. So the prophetic is meant to give you an apostolic assignment. The voice of the Lord is to speak to your identity to establish your destiny. And your destiny is to love and serve and transform the world around you. And so we want to embrace different types of destiny, different types of assignments. We were in Honolulu last week and meeting, we did a prophetic training with about 50 or 60 different churches. And one of the cool things is that one of the guys had taken the prophetic and had gone into surf culture and begun to establish new principles for surf culture. Now, this is really cool, but in Honolulu in particular, they actually follow aloha as a law. And aloha is actually the breath of God is one of the definitions of aloha. But it is a way of treating one another. And so you'll see signs on the road that say, drive with aloha. And you know what? That's like one of my challenge areas. I've shared that before. And it was a challenge area there too. I had a rental car, and you know, on an island, like, the fastest you can go is 45 miles an hour. I have a need for speed, I realize. I have a need for speed. So it's challenging. But I was really concentrating on driving with Aloha, and it stuck with me as well. But this guy, one of the pastors, was using the prophetic to contend for a transforming surf culture. The mayor of the city has now approved putting up signs that say surf with Aloha. And actually just loving one another, making room for one another. And I just think it's so beautiful because there are so many different assignments that we have through what the Lord speaks to us. That some are going after the mountain of family. That's what we commissioned this morning, is we commissioned prophets into the mountain of family. And again, to partner with all those that are already working in this beautiful area of family and of personal health and all those kind of things. And you know, when an army gets large enough, you establish a captain for that army. And that's what's happening, is so many people have a passion for family and gifts that serve family, that it's time to put captains over that so that we can really advance the mission that the Lord has for us in that area. But I love what Pedro and the team is doing in business and in advancing the prophetic in business and entrepreneurs, thousands of people worldwide. It's like anywhere I go now, people come up to me and say, I'm a 100Xer. And you know, that sounds like some kind of cult or something is going on. But it's actually people that are prophetically believing not only for a return, but for a 100-fold return. The scripture says that when we sow, we would see a return 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so they're taking that 100-fold return and actually contending for it within society. And a really cool story is that Pedro was sharing with me the other day that one of their guys has just become their first millionaire. That has gone from really a struggling family, and 9 months later made their first $1 million. And so they literally had a 100-fold return. You know, and he doesn't guarantee those results. Neither is this. And I'm not trying to endorse anybody's thing. I'm just saying that people are applying the prophetic to different areas. That through the voice of the Lord, through the word of the Lord, they are getting a new identity that is establishing their apostolic destiny. Establishing the mission or the expression of the prophetic that they are to live with in their lives. So that's our second value, is that we embrace prophetic diversity. The first one. First value is that everybody can prophesy. Everybody can participate in the voice of the Lord. We're removing that whole idea that you need someone to hear God for you. And that's not even our job as spiritual leaders, is to hear the word of the Lord for you. You know what I mean? But it is to take what the Lord is saying to us as a body and to make sure we're amplifying that and reinforcing those things. But my mentor always used to say, nothing will give you more dignity than knowing that you can hear the voice of God. And I think that's so true, that nothing will give you more dignity in life than knowing that you were made, you were hardwired to hear his voice. And so that's such a part of who we are. But this third pillar is this. Our third pillar is that we are ones who, when we receive a prophetic word, we judge it and then we activate it. We process it and we activate it. And that's the one I want to speak to for just a few moments today. And it comes basically from a scripture in the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18 says this. Timothy, my son, I urge you, according to the prophetic words spoken over you, that by following them you might fight the good fight. We've talked about this before, but that word fight the good fight is strategia, which means to formulate a strategy or to enlist in a military campaign. That means that once we believe that a word of the Lord has come to us and we've judged that word. Now, how do we judge that word? Well, we have a whole criteria, and that's not the focus that we're going through today, but I'll hit a couple of them. Obviously, a prophetic word should never contradict the written word of God. That's like a duh one, but we have to say it because not everybody is above the duh line. You know what I mean? So when it comes to spiritual things, you know, I mean, it just happens that, anyway, stop, Dano, stop. I hear you, Lord, I'm stopping. Okay, so the second thing is that we judge it according to the character and nature of God. Now, that's a big statement, but to simplify it, does it sound like something God would actually say in the new covenant? And that's important too. Does it sound like something God would say in the new covenant? Now, when we talk about the new covenant, we're talking about the New Testament. We're talking about what we did in communion today, that Christ not only died for our sins, yes, he paid for our sins. As Son of Man, he fulfilled the old covenant, okay, which was that none of us could get to God by our own righteousness. We needed someone to intervene for us. And so the blood of Jesus as a man lived perfectly to fulfill all the rules of the old covenant. But Jesus wasn't just the Son of Man. He was also the Son of God. So why did the Son of God have to die? Well, actually, according to the law of covenant, you can't establish a new covenant until someone dies, because a covenant was unto death. Okay, so in this covenantal system, what happened is God had made an agreement with mankind. And so either all of mankind would have had to die to establish a new covenant. God would have had to wipe everybody out and just start over. And he was tempted to do that a few times. It's in the book. Unless that seemed too cruel, some of you parents have felt the same thing. Come on now, just be honest. Not in a mass murder kind of way, just in a, you know, yes. Either all of mankind would have had to die, or God would have had to die. See, it's important that Jesus was not only the Son of Man, but the Son of God. Because as the Son of God, he died so that a new covenant could be established. This is really, really important. God wanted to upgrade the terms of our contract. God wanted to take us to a new level of possibility, a new level of encounter. That's why salvation is so important. Salvation is not just the forgiveness of your sins. Salvation is becoming a new type of creation in Christ Jesus. It is the terms of a new covenant being released in your life so that you go from the Adams family into the Jesus family. From being his favorite creation to actually being adopted as sons and daughters of God. And the scripture even says that we've now become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It says that we've become partakers of his divine nature. God's nature is actually inside of us now. And so when we talk about prophecy in the new covenant, we're saying this is the whole purpose for which Christ came. Not just to forgive you, clean you up, and send you in for another battle, but actually to elevate you to a new status within the created order of the universe. He wanted to make you partakers of the divine nature. He wanted to make you actual sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. And he wanted to establish a new covenant that was between God the Father and God the Son. And he wanted to invite you into it. I love this. The covenant is between the Godhead And he invites us into it so you can't screw it up. Man, that's a good contract. You don't even have to have your lawyer look over that one. That's just, yep, sign on it, you know? Waymaker, that's right. We're going to sing that again in a minute here. So, how does this apply practically? Let me just speak to these three values very practically for a moment. If everyone can prophesy, then everyone should prophesy. If everyone can, the scripture says not everyone will, but it does say everyone can. Why don't you? Why don't you believe you can hear the voice of God? Who told you you can't hear the voice of God? Remember, the very first deception in the garden was, did God really say? You know, that's been thousands of years. We ought to be over that one by now. So we do. We use biblical criteria. Does it counter the word of God? Does it counter the nature of God? How does it hit me? Does the person saying it have anything to benefit from saying it over me? You know? Because there have been times when people have manipulated others with prophetic words or tried to control them or all that kind of stuff. But God trusts you. He knows you're smart enough to figure that out. But you can't treat prophecy as if it's the voice of God every time something is uttered, because scripture says we know in part and we prophesy in part. It also says to beware of false prophets, that there would be those among us. And again, a false prophet doesn't even always give a wrong word. It's false prophet has a wrong motive, has a wrong heart towards you. It's trying to control you or manipulate you. So we know there's the false out there, but this is what the scripture says as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It starts at verse 18. It goes to verse 21. And it says this. It says, rejoice always. Give thanks in all things. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Then it keeps going. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, do not forbid prophetic utterances, but test all things and hold on to that which is good. Wow, that's quite a playbook there. He says, rejoice at all times. There you go, that's your mission. Rejoice at all times. It says, give thanks in everything. Thanksgiving is the gateway to heaven. Grumbling and complaining is the tether to hell. It's the truth. So you got to practice your thanksgiving. You got to put it into play. And then it says, pray without ceasing. Now, again, in our religious culture, that can sound like an impossible thing to do because we often misunderstand prayer. Prayer is the unbroken connection that you already have with Jesus Christ. Prayer is as much listening as it is talking. As a matter of fact, the scripture talks about, hey, when you come before the throne, don't bring words with you. Like, come to listen. Come to listen. And that's really important, too, within a prophetic culture, that we are listening prayers. That we're listening to what he says so we can agree with it. That we're listening to what the Lord is on his heart and in his thoughts and in his voice so that we can release his purposes in the earth. And so again, pray without ceasing is really, it's not achieving something, it's protecting what you already have in Christ Jesus. Just protect this ongoing conversation. Just protect this unbroken dialogue from your side and then respond to it, just like we do the prophetic. But then it says, don't quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, and don't despise prophetic utterances or treat them with contempt. And here's the secret. But test all things and hold on to that which is good. So here's the thing. Don't treat every prophetic word like it's automatically the word of God. Test it. Judge it. Measure it against the Bible. Measure it against the character and nature of God. Measure it against the new covenant. Measure it against how it lands on you. Measure it against what the motive of that person might be in delivering that word. And then also, we like to say around here that testing prophecy is a team sport. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, let two or three prophesy and let the rest judge. That means that judging a prophetic word is something we do in the company of loved ones and leaders. We don't just take off with our own interpretation. Come on, we all have a lens through which we are anticipating what God is going to say. And sometimes we can take that lens and run off in a direction that's actually self-appointed. And we major on a minor thing that God said, rather than focus on what God is really saying. And people around us help us recognize those errors. So it's important. It's important that we test all things. It's important that we judge all things. It's important to our prophetic health. And it's important to our apostolic mission. But here's the deal. Once we believe that we've judged a word and it is the word of the Lord, then we're supposed to do something with it. We're actually supposed to treat it like a word from God. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 4:4. He was being challenged by the enemy to do all kinds of things that God didn't tell him to do. Hey, turn these stones into bread. Jesus could do that so easy. No problem for him. But God didn't tell him to do it. He would have been using the supernatural to prove something. And you know, when you feel pressure to prove or perform outside of the assignment of heaven, you know you've entered into self or religion. And you just got to fall back into the arms of Jesus. And so Jesus himself said, no, I don't have to prove this to you. And this is what he said. He said, because man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now listen, the scripture is the word that we stand on. But the prophetic word, once it's been judged, is your daily bread. Do you feed on the words that God has spoken over you? It says, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that has proceeded from the mouth of God. When you have identified that God has truly spoken something, you're supposed to make it your bread. You're supposed to live off it. You're supposed to draw the strength, the nutrition, the health, the authority that comes from that word. That's why there's so much in the Bible about judging prophetic words. Because once you've judged one to be the word of the Lord, you're actually supposed to live off that thing. You're supposed to draw something from that. So, 3 weeks ago, we had a word from Michael Dalton that this is going to be a house of signs and wonders and miracles, of extraordinary miracles, and that we were going to see limbs grow back. And then Ryan stepped up a week later and goes, well, let's do that. Let's go after that. I'm like, dude, that's gutsy. That was gutsy. Let's don't stop now. You got to keep contending for words. All right, and that's a word over this house. Do you believe it's the word of the Lord? Does it agree with scripture? Does it agree with the character and nature of God? Does it resonate with you that that's part of who we are, that that's part of our destiny? Yeah, so we've judged this word together to be the word of the Lord. Let's keep contending for it. Let's keep fighting with that word. See, when the scripture says that to fight the good fight is to enlist in a military campaign, we're not just saying we're going to pull it out and swing it around one time. But we're going to contend with our reality and make it bow to what the Lord God has spoken over us in Jesus' name. I'm not going to wait for my reality to measure up to the prophetic word. I'm going to challenge my reality with the prophetic word. So, you know, you get a word like that, limbs are going to grow back. Well, that's pretty measurable. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was not a kindergarten word. That was a graduate school word. And it's a big thing, but evidently not for you. The people of the mission. But what are you going to do with it? Because we've said that we are a people who believe everyone can prophesy. We've said that we believe in prophetic diversity. There's different ways that God speaks to us and different missions God gives us. We said that we believe that we should judge the word. And when we judge it to be the word of the Lord, we should act on it and war with it. So Ryan gave us an example of contending for the word and with the word. What are you doing? Are you going to wait for us to do it every time? Because it's supposed to be your daily bread. Are you going to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? You know, last week David said that this is a no fear zone. He invited you into a no fear zone. What are you going to do with that word? And I know we're all tired of hearing about the coronavirus. We are. And yet, it's this mixture. We don't want to live in fear, but we don't want to be stupid. Right? We want to be wise at the same time. But how many of you guys believe that Sean Bowles is a prophet? Some of you know Sean, and he's been in this house many times, and I believe he's a prophet. You know, Fox News said he was a prophet. That's kind of a new thing. Seriously. He was on Fox News, and he said this. These are the words he said. I have it right here. He said, "The Lord showed me the end of the coronavirus. The tide is turning now." He said, "He is answering the prayers and cries of the nations and is putting an end in sight. The exaggerated fear-based tactics of both the enemy and several media outlets for political reasons is coming to an end. The enemy has been trying to distract and steal from several equally important purposes and issues by dominating airwaves with conspiracy and with fear. Even now, several vaccines are coming out as well as a natural dying out of the virus itself. The Lord is saying, I am removing the threat of this, and with a short amount of time, the extreme threat will feel like it is in the way past." Sean Bowles. That's a gutsy word to release on Fox News. You can't do that lightly, because one of two things are going to happen. That word's going to come true, or he's going to look like a false prophet, and that will come back on him. But I want you to know that word doesn't depend on Sean Bowles. That word depends on you. It's like, no, Dano, it depends on God. No, no, no. God gives us the word and invites us into the battle. In the book of Romans, it says that God offered his people, Israel, a Sabbath, but they didn't enter into it. And so that Sabbath still remains for a people who would believe. See, God's promises never die out. They're always available, but sometimes a whole generation misses them. And they stay for another generation. There's a destiny over every family in this room that's probably been on your family line for over 1,000 years. Just waiting for someone like you to take a hold of it and be a champion of that destiny. Because the promise doesn't die out. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully towards him, so that he can show himself strong on their behalf. And so through the mouth of a prophet, a word has come to us. What are you going to do with this virus? Are you going to join the fear mongers? When the church becomes a house of fear, what is the hope of the world? We got to be wise. We got to be smart, but we cannot be fearful. cannot be fearful. We are prisoners of hope in this house. And we have put our hope in Jesus Christ and in the word proceeding from his mouth. And if Fox News is willing to call Sean Bowles a prophet, what are you going to do today? No, I'm serious. That's not normal. It's not normal for the news to advertise someone as a prophet and then to print the word that they've said. And they have to have one of two motives. Either to make us look silly or to report something that might give hope to people. But our hope is not without substance. Our hope is from the proceeding word of the mouth of God. And I ask you today, judge the word. And then, if you've judged it to be the word of the Lord, then enter into the military campaign. Enter into the fight. How do we do that? We pray and we agree with what God has said. So let me read it again so you can practice your agreement. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And we're going to do the bridge to that song from Africa. Waymaker. It says, the Lord showed me the end of the coronavirus. The tide is turning now. Would you say it with me? The tide is turning now. Are we ready? Let's say it together. Ready? The tide is turning now. In Jesus' name, we agree, Lord, with your word. We believe it to be the word of the Lord. He is answering the prayers and cries of the nation and is putting an end in sight. The exaggerated fear-based tactics of both the enemy and several media outlets. And then I want to say, too, that our friend Doug Addison, who is a prophet recognized around the world, and also who was called to be a prophet in this house, about 30 years ago, it's actually here that he received his prophetic call. He has said that the coronavirus is a direct attack against global harvest. It's a direct attack against the billion soul harvest. It wants us to disconnect with one another as nations, to become isolated and fearful again, to stop the flow of the harvest. And did you know that for years there have been teams, evangelistic teams, training to invade the Olympics? And now there's questions as to whether people are going to go to the Olympics because of the coronavirus. It's a potential harvest that's being held up with fear. Listen, disease is a real thing. Sickness is a real thing. And some people want to take scriptures out of context and go, well, this just shows that Jesus is coming. So let's celebrate the virus because it shows that Jesus is coming. What kind of sicko are you? A sicko is Jesus. If you're supposed to celebrate people dying of disease to somehow point to the need of Jesus coming, I think we know we need Jesus. So if you gravitate to that side of scripture and you want to interpret it in that way, fix yourself. Jesus is coming and there are signs of the times, but you cannot add the weight of your agreement to disease to prove the need for Jesus coming. You must put your weight on the side of hope and on the side of life. And you must live by the word that's proceeding from the mouth of God that says, this thing ends now. And we've got to be purveyors of hope in this hour. Not a hope without substance, but a hope that comes from the very mouth of God. And so our media has opened its arms to the prophetic in a way I've never seen before. What is the church doing? What are we doing? We are the mission. We are a prophetic eagle's nest. We are a light to people in the area of the prophetic. And if we don't hold our end of this thing, if we don't contend for this assignment, if we don't stand firm and agree with what God says, if we don't add our prayer and our cry to this word of the Lord, because God offers the word as an opportunity, not as a sovereign destiny. that opportunity is in front of you right now. And guys, we got to own this thing.
Yeah.
We got to take this thing. We are a house of prayer for the nations. We are a house of hope for the nations. And I want to encourage you that it's time to judge the word. And if you judge it to be the word of the Lord, then start owning it. Start living it. Start agreeing with it. Start contending with it. Start fighting with it. Don't just take it, swing it one time and think you've done your deal. Come on, stand on this until we see the fulfillment of this word come to pass. These are words about now. These are words about soon. These are words about multiple cures. And I believe the word of the Lord. And I want to stand in hope. And I want to stand in faith. And I want to stand believing. Would you stand with me? Come on, let's stand together. Let's do that bridge, you guys. Sing it so they can sing it with us. Yeah.
Even when I don't feel that you're working, never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel that you're working, never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. Never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop. You never stop working. Never stop. You never stop working.
Oh, all right. All right. That means, that does not mean that we're not going to see it. It just means that even when we're not seeing it, we stand. And we contend. And some of you right now in this place, you've been standing on a word over your life, over your family, over your health, over your finances, over your business. And you're weary of standing because you haven't seen it. And now because you haven't seen it, you're starting to not feel it. And you just need to come back to the place of warfare and say, I'm going to contend with the word. I'm not going to live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding from the mouth of God. You've judged it rightly to be the word of the Lord. I want you to come stand across the front. If you're contending for something that you have not yet seen and you need a little bit of a restoration of hope in your life, you don't want to stand alone. Come on, we're standing to contend for the word of the Lord. We're standing in faith, believing, I will eat the word. I will draw strength, nutrition, and life from the word proceeding from your mouth. Come on, let's make it our declaration. Here we go.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Never stop. Never stop working.
You guys, look around you because you're not standing alone. Come on, we're standing together. We're standing together as an army of God, contending for the word of God and the will of God.
You never stop working.
What will you remember today? Come on, let's pull on communion. What will you remember today? Remember every time God has answered your prayer. Remember every time that one of your prophetic words has come to pass. And draw on the power of that faith. Draw on the power of that testimony. And pull it into your now. Pull it into right now.
And you do it again.
So, Father, we release breakthrough over this room in Jesus' name. Breakthrough in prophetic words to be fulfilled as a people of faith. Lord, as a prophetic company, Lord God, we stand to contend for the nations. We stand to contend for bodies in this room, businesses in this room, families in this room. We contend for the word of the Lord. Lord, we will not just judge by the eyes. We will not just judge by the circumstances or by the media around us. We will believe the word of the Lord.
See with the eyes of the Spirit.
We trust you, Lord. We trust you. One more time, even when. Here we go.
You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Lord, we thank you that by your word, the universe was formed. Everything in the seen and the unseen realm was formed and is upheld by the power of your word. And so, Father, we will not shift off the very axis of how our universe was created. We will believe the word of the Lord, and we will stand on it as substance. We will stand on it as reality. And Lord, we will release our amen to the yes that you've already released from heaven. So, Father, I pray for an impartation of faith into your people right now. An impartation of faith to stand in the word of the Lord. Lord, to fight with the word of the Lord. Lord, to contend and to join the apostolic assignment, the military campaign, to formulate strategies around what you have said, Lord God. Father, we thank you that your word stands forever, and even heaven and earth itself can pass away, but your word will never, ever pass away. So, Father, we declare today that we will not live by bread alone, but we will live by every word that has proceeded from your mouth. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's lift up a shout of victory right now. Let's lift up a shout of victory. So what do we do from here? We choose to believe, but we enlist in a military campaign. That means we're going to keep agreeing with the word of the Lord, and we're going to look for him for strategic things that we're supposed to do. It's important that you listen to the voice of the Lord in this season. Yeah. You know, if the Lord says don't go into that room, then don't go into that room. All right? But don't go into every room afraid. You know what I'm saying? The Lord says, wash your hands, wash your hands. You know what I mean? And if the Lord says, put the foam on your hands and watch it die under a microscope, then you'd ask a friend. This is what I think I'm hearing from the Lord. then you go for it. And then you go for it. So, I just want to encourage you to be active in your prophetic words this week, and even in this prophetic word over our nation. And if you're in this room and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know what we're talking about today, you don't understand these things, it's okay. We were all there once. We were all in a place of a novice, a beginner, of someone who didn't know this life in Jesus. And you know what? I didn't know it growing up in church. Some get saved out of all kinds of sin and selfishness. I had to get saved out of religion, into relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not talking about your level of goodness or badness today. We're talking about your need of Jesus Christ. Right. We're asking you today to call upon the name of the Lord. Say, God, I want this. I want to walk with you. I want to have this kind of faith that you're with me in every situation, every storm. Then I want to invite you right now, just call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. God, come into my life. Lord, forgive me of everything that doesn't look like you, and just align me with your heart and your voice. Just a simple prayer like that is the beginning of your transformation. And I want to invite you into that today. If you don't know Jesus, then look for a happy person around you and ask them to help you. All right? Praise the Lord. Hey, tonight I'm going to be ministering in the Deeper School, okay, that meets over in the other building, and we're going to do a 5-part training on types of impartation, which is perfectly timed when everybody's afraid to touch one another. We're going to talk about how to transfer the supernatural power of God in several different ways. So you can audit that class tonight. If you're not in the school, come check it out and be part. And again, check all the stuff that's online. So much great stuff. Don't forget about the youth launch that's happening Wednesday night. All right. Love you guys. Bless you. Thanks for being with us. The ministry team will be down front to minister to further specific needs that you have today. But otherwise, go in the power of God. Bless you.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working.